Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. Across the Border is the name of the broadcast. It's also the name of my website. It is crosstheborder.org. Would like to hear from you. Please visit the website. Avail yourself of the articles and the podcasts there. Also, contact me page is there if you want to contact me. I'd like to hear from you. Also, opportunities to support there. Get a copy of the Greatest Prophecy DVD and the booklet, What Year Is It? To understand what's coming up and where we stand according to the Bible, as opposed to according to the Vatican's Pope Gregory calendar, Gregorian calendar. Which one is important to you? The Antichrist calendar or the year of the Bible? What year is it from creation? We have a clear chronology there. So you can also see that article, and that Bible study is there on the website. So take advantage of that and read it until you understand it. Go over it until it makes sense to you. Clarify it for yourself using the word of our Almighty God. We're in Micah. Chapter 9, he says, her wound is incurable, for it has come unto Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, and even to Jerusalem. Declare ye it not at Gath. I believe that's a city of the Philistines. Declare ye it not at Gath. Weep ye not at all in the house of Ephrah. And Ephrah, let's see, I believe that's a place in Palestine. A place in Palestine. Roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sapphir, another city of Palestine, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zaanan came not forth in the morning of Bethazel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to be to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presence to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Mereshah. He shall come unto Adullam, another place in Palestine, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald and pull thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds when the morning is light. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And, you know, there it is, that word practice. What do you practice? I've talked about in the past a lifestyle of repentance. I practice repentance. That's my practice. I'm a practitioner of repentance. The Holy Spirit, when you are truly born again and you don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, you don't blaspheme him by forbidding him from working repentance in you, because that's the main job in a believer's life of the Holy Spirit. First he comes and he convicts, and then if you respond, you repent, and you allow the law of the Heavenly Father to be written in your mind and upon your heart, and then it's in you to depart from iniquity and to learn obedience. But if you continue to practice disobedience, it says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon the beds when the morning is light. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Do you have a reservation to continue sinning? Then where's the true repentance? You got to give up all reservation to continue in your sin, or there is no repentance. It's fake. I know, I've seen it all. I've seen people, you know, they feel guilty for their sin. So they get all emotional and weepy about it, right? And they feel bad about their sin. And they get emotional and weepy about it, and they feel bad about it. And then they feel good because they felt bad about it, you see? And to them, that's what repentance is. Feeling bad about your sin and then feeling good because you felt bad about it. But then they go out and do it again. And then it catches up with them, and then they get all weepy and emotional again. And they feel bad about their sin, and then they feel good because they felt bad about it. And they think somehow that gives them a right standing with the Almighty. But the real problem is they have a reservation to continue in their sin. They just kind of hide it from themselves while they're feeling bad about it, so that they can feel good about feeling bad about their sin. And this cycle continues over and over. I've seen this this malady in people's lives where they just do this over and over and over until they get so out of control and their flesh gets so destroyed that they can't even sin if they want to, because they don't even have the capability anymore, because their flesh is now so destroyed that they can't even enjoy sin anymore. Is that really how we want to repent? The destruction of our flesh, bringing about the condition where we can't sin because we've destroyed our flesh so much? But you know what? It's still in their minds. Some of them still want to do it in their minds, even though their flesh is destroyed. If they got their health back and they were capable of going out and whoring or fornicating or whatever, but they've destroyed their flesh to the point where they can't even do that. If they had their health back, they'd be right back out there in a minute. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And when they lose the power, they still desire it. And they hang on to any little bit of disobedience and that they still can, as a witness against themselves, that they refuse to repent. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I am convinced in my heart that the Heavenly Father has revealed to me what that unforgivable sin is, that blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life the fruit of repentance. He says it's the unpardonable, the unforgivable sin. And it is the unforgivable sin. Because without repentance, there is no forgiveness. That's right. Without repentance, if you don't repent, you can't be forgiven. Period. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Otherwise, why would the Messiah have said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand? Now, you know, we've been reading through the minor prophets, and we read here where God repented. Does God repent? Does God sin that he should repent? No. You know what repent means? It means to change your mind. That's right. God calls you to change your mind. And if you truly change your mind, well, that will be evident in the works of your life. The fruit of repentance will result from changing your mind. See, because God changed his mind. When Nineveh repented of their sins, well, God changed his mind about punishing them. So God repented. He changed his mind. Repent. Two Greek words, meta, neo. Meta, of course, means change. You know, a metamorph, metamorphosis. You know, meta means change. Metamorph means to change your form. Metaneo, repent, means to change your mind. God changed his mind, and he didn't judge Nineveh. We need to change our minds. And how do we change our minds? Well, he tells us. He says, renew your mind by the washing of the water of the word. He says that he will write his law upon your mind and in your heart, and it will be in you, and you will be his people, and he will be your God. That's what it means to repent. He becomes your God. You become his people. He's now your king. He writes his law upon your mind and your heart. Now it's in you. You're compelled to change your life because you have allowed the Holy Spirit. You have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit by refusing the work of conviction, bringing forth repentance in your life. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds when the morning is light. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, and even his heritage. Boy, there were true words there. That's what these wicked people are doing. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks. In other words, the Almighty is saying to these people that he's giving judgment to, he says, I'm not going to repent. I've already devised the punishment, the judgment, the evil, and you're not going to be able to remove your necks from it. Neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And I say yes and amen. His words do good to them that walketh uprightly. Chapter 2, verse 8, even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children you have taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as sheep of Bozrah, as a flock of the midst of their fold, and they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Chapter 3 and verse 1. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron? It reminds me of the Inquisition, reading these things, what they did to God's people. Yes, and they were the religious leaders. I guess there is no new thing under the sun, because he's talking to the princes and the leaders of the house of Israel. They hate the good and love the evil. And that's how it is today. They call good evil and evil good. They shall cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord, and it's Yahweh by name, concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Here he's speaking against the false prophets. We've talked about the wall of false prophets, Ezekiel's wall of false prophets. You want to know what false prophecy is? It's popular. That's right. It gets on the late night, coast to coast. Gets on Alex Jones. It sells millions of dollars worth of books. Even calls itself fiction. It has its root in the Antichrist system. It's counter-reformation. It's false prophecy. They call it futurism. And they take it. Futurism works like this. The wall of false prophets. Here's what they do. They pluck a verse from anywhere in the scripture. Out of context, it doesn't matter. If it sounds good in their scheme of things, they pluck it out and plant it in because they're false prophets. And because they're pulling from the scripture and they're quoting scripture, the gullible believe it because it's what they want to hear. And they sound very good and very important and very educated, and they are. Well, they'll have PhDs and all kinds of things behind their name. They may have gone to seminary, but they're building on the wall of false prophets. And why do they do it? Well, it's very profitable. You know, their profits are with an F, you know, because that's all they're after is profit. And people, oh, they're so great. Oh, look at how much they've done for the kingdom of God. Really? Really? That's what I've heard about the false prophets. Oh, you can't say anything against them. They've done so much for the kingdom. Yeah, it's a false kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God. It's not his kingdom. And the whole world is going after the false prophets because the false prophets tell them what they want to hear. They're going to get to escape the great tribulation. They don't have to worry about the mark of the beast because they'll be raptured out. But what happens when they're not raptured out and the mark of the beast system is implemented? Well, I know what happens. They'll transition right into it. Because they'll still be waiting for their rapture escape. They'll be in denial. This can't be it because I haven't been raptured out yet. Is that what they'll say? They're deceived by the wall of false prophets. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare for war against him. Yeah, they prepare for war against the Almighty. Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark upon you, that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yes, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. That's what he's saying about the leaders in the church. They abhor judgment, and they pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, for money. That's right. Remember, millions of dollars? They make a lot of money. Very popular. I don't get any $8 billion contracts with the government and call myself a prophet of God. How do they get away with that? Oh, God must be blessing them. Yeah, well, I'm afraid it's the wrong God. Sorry, it's the God of this world. You know, the one that has all of the Satan's monetary system. He controls all the money, and he causes to prosper that which he will. That what he wants the people to believe? False prophecy. They teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yeah, it's popular. People pay for what's popular. You don't see them flocking over here. If I log on now, I'd think it was a great day if 20 people are listening to this live broadcast. Now, a remnant, that's right. That's all we get here is a remnant. Who can endure it? My goodness, he's just going through the Bible, that book of fables. Who can endure it? You know, give me something exciting like, you know, demons mating with women. Ooh, yeah. What pornography that envisions in the mind. What treachery. Yes. It's against God's word. God said that everything reproduces after its kind. It's a lie. If demons were allowed to mate with women, and the safeguards that God put in, that the Almighty put in the creation, and he expounded upon over and over, he said everything after its kind, bringing forth fruit and seed after its kind, everything after its kind. If those safeguards were lifted, and demons that don't procreate and don't give and take in marriage could somehow mate with women, the daughters of men, by now, some 5,940 years later, we would be swimming in genetic soup if the word of God were not true. But we're not swimming in genetic soup. The false prophets are liars. And if they'll lie to you about that, they'll lie to you about everything. We'll be back in a few minutes.